Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-ah! I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Happy New Year to all our listeners. It's a pleasure to welcome to the show a new sponsor, Dr. Mike Fulgetz. He's known as America's gold expert. He's the president of Universal Coin and Bullion. Mike has received so many awards and recognitions for his work in the precious metal and coin field, it would take a whole show to cover them all. There's never a time when owning precious metals isn't a good idea, but with our nation's inflation ruling our economy right now, now is the time to start buying precious metals, unless you already have some. In that case, do what I'm doing and increase your ownership. I strongly recommend you contact universalcoin.com. That's universalcoin.com. Okay, joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is not Marine Vet Skip Coriel. He's walking wounded. He's a casualty. He's sick of something. We'll cover for him. Coast Guard vet Roland Ashby is filling in. Welcome, Roland. You staying out of trouble?
I certainly am, Colonel. It's nice to be back on the show.
Hey, how do you and your family celebrate New Year?
Yeah, it was really low-key, but had an opportunity to catch up with some of my past shipmates, actually, for the New Year, and planning a little reunion at the Coast Guard Festival in Grand Haven this coming summer. So I'm kind of looking forward to it.
Hey, maybe we should cover that on the show. That should be cool.
Great idea.
Okay, here's what we have for you today. A news account by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss the disaster of diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI, in our military. Then Roland will contribute his warrant wisdom. Former Navy SEAL Captain John Doolittle will discuss his career and what he's doing now. Chuck Duerstein from the American Council on Science and Health will discuss real science in our military. Then we'll talk with Vietnam vet Ron Corser. And of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our self-defense report.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. And we'd really appreciate it if you'd go to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free newsletter. And of course, join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We really welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or do it on Facebook. And now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. But first, we got to do a joke. A field commander in the desert during an operation asked a group of troops, if you found a scorpion in your tent, what would you do? The Army guy said, I'd throw a boot at it. The Marine said, I'd pick it up by the tail and stinger and eat it. And the Air Force guy said, I'd call room service and ask, why is there a tent in my room? Yeah, we're picking on the Air Force. But that's our job as brothers in arms, right, Roland?
That's right, Colonel.
Okay, now the news. Take us there, Roland.
All right, just over a week ago, Russia launched the biggest air attack on Ukraine ever, with an unprecedented number of drones and missiles fired at targets across the country, killing at least 31 people and injuring over 150. The attacks began overnight and struck nationwide, with blasts reported in the capital of Kiev, as well as at maternity hospital in the central city of Dnipro and the eastern city of Kharkiv, the southern port of Odessa, and the western city of Lviv, far from the front lines. The strikes continued as a barrage of missiles targeted the northern Cherkasy region, with one hitting the city of Smyla. Other missiles were detected from Russia's Kursk region, heading towards the northern Ukrainian city of Sumy. Ukraine's Air Force said Russia used 158 drones and missiles, including hypersonic missiles, cruise missiles, and drones to strike targets in Ukraine.
While Russia's army seems incompetent, they apparently have the ability to strike from the air competently. That's where computers can make decisions instead of people. Wow.
All right. Israeli forces recently bombarded cities, towns, and refugees camps across Gaza, killing dozens of people in a widening air and ground offensive against Hamas that has forced thousands more to flee from homes and shelters. The war has already killed over 20,000 Palestinians and driven around 85% of the population from their homes. Much of northern Gaza has been leveled and has been largely depopulated and isolated from the rest of the territory for weeks. Many fear a similar fate awaits the south as Israel expands its offensive. Israel has vowed to dismantle Hamas, which is still putting up stiff resistance even in the north, and bringing back over 100 hostages still held by militants after their October 7th attack into southern Israel, in which some 1,200 people, mostly civilians, were killed. Israeli officials have brushed off international calls for a ceasefire, saying it would amount to a victory for Hamas. The U.S. has urged Israel to take greater measures to spare civilians and allow in more aid. But humanitarian workers say the amount of food, fuel, and medical supplies entering is still far below what is needed. The military says it has killed thousands of militants and 167 of its soldiers have been killed and hundreds wounded in a ground offensive.
Folks, remember that the people who live in Gaza fully support Hamas and cheer when Israelis are killed. Without the support of these civilians, Hamas couldn't survive in Gaza. The price for supporting terrorists is that you can logically expect to be attacked by the victims of the terrorist attacks. Do note that no other Muslim country in the area will accept any Gaza refugees.
All right, a U.S. Navy ship and fighter jets recently thwarted another series of attacks in the Red Sea, shooting down numerous drones and missiles fired by Houthi rebels operating in Yemen. The destroyer, the USS Laboon, and F-18 Super Hornets from the USS Eisenhower Strike Group shot down 12 one-way attack drones, 3 anti-ship ballistic missiles, and 2 land attack cruise missiles in the Southern Sea that were fired by the Houthi rebels over a 10-hour period. The barrage comes a week after the Pentagon announced a new task force in the region to protect commercial shipping from such attacks. The rebels have targeted shipping in the Red Sea since October 19th in hopes of disrupting support for Israel in its war against Hamas in Gaza.
It's not just the Hamas terrorist group that is seeking to kill Jews and destroy Israel. It's all the terrorist Muslim groups and nations like Iran. And they hate our nation too. They need to be destroyed.
Okay, so there's a recent study that shows that Communist China owns American farmlands in these 27 states: Arizona, Arkansas, California, Florida, Georgia, Hawaii, Illinois, Indiana, Kansas, Kentucky, Maine, Maryland, Mississippi, Missouri, Nebraska, New Jersey, North Carolina, Ohio, Oklahoma, Oregon, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, Texas, Utah, Virginia, Washington State, and West Virginia. Wow. This puts our nation at serious risk.
Truly, it does. Our nation's food and national security are at serious risk if this food source is manipulated. We can't afford to have a known enemy have any possessions in our nation, much less something as vital as our food source.
U.S. intelligence officials have determined that the Chinese spy balloon that flew across the U.S. last year used an American internet service provider to communicate. This is according to 2 current and 1 former U.S. official familiar with the assessment. The balloon connected to a U.S.-based company to send and receive communications from China, primarily related to the navigation of the balloon. Officials said it found that the connection allowed the balloon to send bursts of transmissions or high bandwidth collections of data over short periods of time. The Biden administration sought a highly secretive court order from the Federal Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court to collect intelligence on it while it was over the U.S., at least according to multiple current and former officials. How the court ruled has not been disclosed. Such a court order would have allowed our intelligence agencies to conduct electronic surveillance on the balloon as it flew over the U.S. and as it sent and received messages to and from China. The company denied that the Chinese balloon had used its network, a determination it said was based on its own investigation and discussions it had with U.S. officials.
That balloon could have been marking areas for future strikes, was likely gathering information that could be used in future strikes, and should have been shot down as soon as was spotted. This is another example of the disaster that is our nation's defense.
And lastly, our military's X-37B space plane blasted off late last month on another secretive mission that's expected to last at least a couple years. Like previous missions, the reusable plane resembling a mini space shuttle carried classified experiments. There's no one on board. The space plane took off aboard SpaceX's Falcon Heavy rocket from NASA's Kennedy Space Center at night, more than 2 weeks late because of technical issues. This marked the 7th flight of an X-37B, which has logged more than 10 years in orbit since its debut in 2010.
I'm glad this is going on. We need to keep exploring space. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well-run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing. We can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a veteran, in getting involved and getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Check cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel. Then we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk with former Navy SEAL John Doolittle. At East Troops, take a break. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. In business for over 30 years with over $1 billion in sales, Universal Coin and Bullion is my go-to source for gold and silver coins. And right now, they're offering our listeners a newly minted 0.999 fine, 1 ounce 2024 American Eagle coin for just $27. Call 1-800-UCB-GOLD or go to their website at www.universalcoin.com/Denny.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coria with your home defense tip of the week. Sit down with your children and make a plan for home defense. Let them know that if shooting starts, they should drop to the ground for safety. If they hear breaking glass or see a home invader, they should notify you immediately if safely possible. If they can't get to you, they should hide until the danger is over. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. It is 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation of listening to the Front Lines of Freedom all across America. Troops, even if our economy wasn't a mess with inflation going crazy and the prices up and out of sight, I'd still recommend that you do some investing in precious metals, gold and silver. I encourage you to join me in purchasing these solid investments from Universal Coin. Find them at universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. Troops, I've been discussing the total nonsense of forcing diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI, into our military. We've been hoping that maybe some senior officers would stand up against it, as judging people other than by their ability and attitude doesn't work when you're going into combat. Hey, if you or a family member were going to follow a leader into combat, what would you want in a leader? I've followed leaders into combat, and I didn't care about their race or gender or understanding of my sensitive feelings or use of pronouns. Remember, the major role of our military is to kill people and break things. And if we're really good at doing that, then bad guys won't want to mess with us. That's called deterrence. Finally, I don't think DEI works anywhere. I've run several businesses and organizations, and I wouldn't hire anyone by any DEI standards. My question when hiring was, will my team be better off if we have this person aboard? Yes, a big part of that is treating people with respect. We've always done that. Well, now my alma mater, West Point, is at the center of this DEI fight right now. A group, Students for Fair Admissions, won a landmark Supreme Court case that struck down Harvard's affirmative action policies, and they're now taking a shot at West Point. When they tried to apply the Harvard decision to West Point, our government argued that an institution to train military officers isn't subject to the same rules as private universities, and that DEI policies help rather than hinder effectiveness in combat. Yes, that's nonsense, but that's what they said. A huge cultural shift has been underway throughout our military under the current administration, and we've discussed that several times. It all started when, under President Obama, transgender people were welcomed into our military, and officers became directly liable for perceived offenses against such persons. It seems that a footnote to the court's opinion in the Harvard case that the ruling didn't apply to military institutions, only because no military academies were a party to the case. The government filed a memorandum asserting that the plaintiff, in extending the reasoning from college cases, ignored the critical difference between civilian and military universities and has failed to establish legal standing to weigh in on a matter that falls under federal jurisdiction. They also argue that the Army's operational interests require training of officers who can build a cohesive rapport with subordinates, and that in an increasingly diverse nation, that goal isn't achievable without affirmative action. At least to me, those arguments mark the military leaders as wildly incompetent to lead. During the hearings that will certainly take place early this year, the lawyers defending West Point will likely argue that the plaintiff lacks standing because Article 3 of our Constitution sets a high bar for proving actual or imminent injury when fighting on a matter that would normally fall under federal jurisdiction, as our military matters generally do. However, the Supreme Court has explicitly acknowledged the folly of allowing the military to conduct itself however it wants to on the grounds that it falls under separate rules and oversight from entities run by civilians. A final thought. The founder of Students for Fair Admissions, Edward Blum, said, quote, "If race is forbidden at all college ROTC programs throughout the nation, then it must follow that the surface academies are forbidden from using race as well." Hard to argue with that. Folks, those people who are our nation's leaders in all this are the same people who caused the horrible abandonment of Afghanistan, with all the loss of life and abandonment of both people who supported us and billions of dollars worth of state-of-the-art equipment. Their continued actions have severely reduced the effectiveness of our military and have shown our enemies how totally weak and foolish our leadership is. That's very likely the reason why Russia waited to see how weak we are now before they invaded Ukraine, and why Iran and Hamas feel that they can get away with invading Israel now. Note that we say we're standing with Israel, but we're really pressing Israel to lighten up and go easy on the invasion of Gaza, when the only lasting solution is to totally eliminate Hamas at whatever cost. The same approach we took to defeating Japan and Germany. And remember, Hamas and other terrorist groups have been attacking Israeli citizens, yes, women and children, for 75 years, and no one has asked them to take it easy. Bottom line, we currently see no, that's zero, rational leadership for our military. That can be seen in the huge problem that our military has in recruiting. People may not know exactly what the problem is, but they can smell that something is seriously wrong with our military. You know, one of the largest sources of recruits for our military is the children of veterans. And that's gone away. This country is the most peaceful and prosperous nation on earth. And we have more rights than anybody. It's our nation. This means it's our responsibility to be sure that it's run properly. Be sure you're communicating with your elected leaders. And this is an election year. Start now checking who you want to vote for at every level. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. And now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have to share this week, Roland?
Well, Colonel, the Justice Department is making a North Carolina towing company pay close to $70,000 after being accused of repossessing and selling vehicles that belong to deployed U.S. Marines. The Justice Department and Billy Joe Goins, the owner and operator of Goins Towing and Recovery, reached a settlement over the alleged violations of the Service Members Civil Relief Act, where he towed and then sold vehicles without properly disclosing to the courts that they were actually owned by service members. Under the law, debt collectors and towing companies are not allowed to take and sell service members' property behind their backs, and the Justice Department is enforcing these laws. The Service Members Civil Relief Act provides a wide range of financial and housing protections to members of the military, and it requires companies to file accurate affidavits disclosing whether a vehicle belongs to a member of the military. In this case, Goins did not follow those protections, and instead, he auctioned or sold vehicles owned by at least 8 members of the military, including at least one member who was deployed at the time to Japan when the towing company sold the Marine's vehicle and kept the proceeds. Now, this was the first ever case brought against a U.S. towing company under the law, and Goins agreed to pay nearly $67,000 to impacted service members, along with forgiving storage fees assessed to those service members. The Service Members Civil Relief Act postpones or suspends certain civil obligations to enable service members to devote their full attention to duty and to relieve stress on their families. The Act covers things such as reduced interest rates, mortgage payments, pending trials, taxes, eviction from housing, and much more. The Act protects all active duty service members, along with reservists and members of the National Guard, while they're on active duty. You know, I'm very happy to see the Justice Department stepping in here, especially in regards to these towing and recovery companies who are known to prey on service members when they're deployed. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. That's awesome. I'm glad to hear about that. That's something that we need to know so we can stand up for our troops. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll talk with former SEAL Captain John Doolittle. Then we'll talk with Tuck Duerstein about the absence of real science for our nation and our military. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You're standing tall with Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for some wind sprints. Do them for a couple of miles, then stand at ease.
over 10 years, Concerned Veterans for America has been fighting for better health care options for veterans.
Thanks to our thousands of activists around the country, we've been able to expand options for veterans who use the VA for their care.
But there is more to be done, and you can help. We need voices just like yours to call on Congress to continue reforming the VA and empowering veterans with more choice over their care.
Learn more and join the movement by visiting cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome aboard retired Navy SEAL Captain John Doolittle. I guess I should say welcome aboard, John.
Yeah, thanks, Danny. It's an honor to be on your show, especially a show that's been around for 17 years. Thank you very much.
John, you had an interesting time in uniform. You started at the Air Force Academy. What attracted you there?
Well, I was in high school when Top Gun came out, and I wanted to be like Maverick, and the Naval Academy said no, and the Air Force Academy said, come on in. That's the short version.
Okay. While there, did you play any sports? What'd you do there?
Yeah, I was a swimmer, and my dad was Air Force. He spent 30 years in the Air Force. He was a weapon controller and did Civil Air Patrol, and so I had a touch of military background. He never really encouraged me to go into the military. But as a swimmer, I swam for this guy named Mike Troy. And Mike Troy was a three-tour SEAL from Vietnam. But he also was a gold medalist from the 1960 Olympics, world record holder in the 200-meter fly. And he got another gold medal in the relay. And he was my coach growing up. And I think Mike is who really planted the biggest seed for me to someday become a SEAL.
Okay. So you graduated from Sky High. Presumably, they let you go. I know at West Point it's true. A few people can change branches.
That's true.
And I would presume that you did that, or did you go into the Air Force first and then transfer?
No, I was. It was my junior year in 91. And so Bush 41 was the president. There was a drawdown in the Air Force pilot slots. So we were told if you were not in the top third of your class, you were not going to UPT or undergraduate pilot training. And Denny, guess what? I was definitely not in the top one third. I would argue I was not in the top 99%. I was an academic probation, six of the eight semesters, always in trouble, always restricted. Just dealing with drama at the Air Force Academy all the time. But it was at that time I reached out to Mike, who was one of my mentors, you know, second behind my dad. And Mike was the one that said, well, look into doing an inter-service transfer. I'm pretty sure you can do it. And he was right. So I transferred to the Navy. So I graduated from the Air Force Academy, but was commissioned the same day as an ensign.
Okay. And did you then go directly into SEALs, or did you have to do something else first?
Well, they told me I was going to SEALs, and then they changed their mind once once I raised my hand. So, and I like talking to like high school and college kids about this, because I went in the Navy to go into the SEAL teams. Once I was there, it took me six fails to get there, and meaning I applied to the SEAL teams six times, and six times they said no. It wasn't until my seventh time. So every 6 months, I tried to go to BUDS, Basic Underwater Demolition School. And it wasn't until the seventh time that they even allowed me to go. So initially, I went into the Diving and Salvage Navy. So I was on an ARS, Auxiliary Rescue Salvage ship. I was a dive officer, and I did all that ship kind of stuff. and continuously tried to get the buds, and eventually got to go in 96.
Okay. What were some of your assignments as a SEAL?
Well, I was mostly an East Coast guy. You know, the SEAL teams are, for the most part, split into East Coast and West Coast. And then we have the boat teams, and then we have the SDV teams, the SEAL delivery vehicle, the wet underwater submersibles. But I went to SEAL Team 2, and I was an East Coast guy mostly. I also worked at some of our units in Germany and in Guam and deployed out of those locations. Worked on some staff stuff, did two CO tours, one of which, interestingly, not a normal job in the teams, but we had a few of these PRTs, Provincial Reconstruction Teams, in Afghanistan, and that was a year-long deployment, and that was in 2010 in Ghazni, Afghanistan. So did a bunch of deploying all over the world. When I retired, my sister's family gave me this plaque, and it had 72 flags on it. And I was like, what is this? And she said, those are the countries you worked in during your career. And I think, you know, over 25 years, that's pretty normal for guys that work in special operations. You work all over the globe, and it's not always combat. You know, it's a lot of training with partner nation, NATO and non-NATO partner nation forces.
I understand that. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with retired Navy SEAL John Doolittle. So, John, you had what I guess would be called a typical SEAL career once you got into the SEALs. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, pretty typical. It's just that I got a late start because I didn't get to BUDS until I was a mid-grade lieutenant. And so I was the most senior guy in the class, and I was the class officer. But, you know, I was older than all the other guys in the class. And when I went to the teams, I was kind of behind all my peers. I just got started late, if that makes sense.
Yeah. On the other hand, the difference in maturity that you had compared to the other people in your BUDS class probably gave you some advantage there, don't you think?
Yeah, that's one way to put it. I think it gave me a very different perspective, for sure. I knew that if I was going to spend more time in the Navy, I did not. You know, nothing against the Fleet Navy. It's just not why I came in. And I knew that's not what I wanted to do. And I remember at BUDS, every time I went over the cargo net, which was part of the obstacle course there for training, every time I went over that cargo net, I always looked east, meaning as I went over the top, I always looked over to 32nd Street, San Diego, where all the ships were. And that was my motivation. Every single day I'd look over there. I was like, okay, that's not where I want to be. So I got to keep going. I got to finish this and do, you know, get into the teams.
Hey, you know, that makes sense. And there's nothing like knowing what you want to do and being given a chance to do it and pushing yourself to achieve that. That's sort of what life should be like, though maybe not quite as extreme at times.
Well, it's okay to fail, right? Uh-huh. I mean, that's why I always talk to these college kids about. It's weird. People think, especially this, I don't know what generation you call it, but that 18 to 25 year old, they feel like 9 times out of 10 that they can't fail. They're not allowed to fail. And I like telling my story because I failed a lot. And I feel like we all grow when we fail. You know, I enjoyed having guys work with me and for me that have failed and learned from their mistakes. It's important.
Yeah. I mean, you'll learn an awful lot from your mistakes. I do. Yeah. I mean, I did. And so what you're saying makes a lot of sense. And the more you can learn before you have to do it while people are shooting at you, the better off you're going to be. I take it you had a chance to dodge a few bullets in your term.
Yeah, it's when we were in Iraq and Afghanistan, all those up-armored vehicles, they were like bullet sponges. Just everywhere you drove in those things, they'd shoot at you. But hey, hats off to the guys that developed those things. Yeah, they saved a lot of lives. Those mine resistance, ambush protected vehicles that we would drive all over. And it wasn't like that at the beginning. You know, when we were working in Bosnia and Kosovo and early on after 9/11, everything was kind of jerry-rigged armor plates on Humvees and things like that.
Yes.
And then as time went on and we learned a lot in Blood how best to protect the guys. And I remember in Ghazni watching a vehicle get blown up from a command detonated IED. And I was absolutely sure that everybody in that vehicle was dead, and they weren't. Every single person walked away from that. And I was just blown away at the technology that's gone into protecting the guys. It's pretty impressive.
There's an understatement. It's very impressive. Yeah. Well, there's more to talk about with John, and he's going to stay with us. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, yeah, it's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do, well, several times a week. Then take a break, but stay in the area. We'll be right back. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. Silver has increased 27% over the past 14 months and is a solid financial investment. Silver is projected to continue its rise and is nowhere near its 2011 high of $66 an ounce, so there's still a lot of room for investment growth. Call 1-800-UCB-GOLD or go to their website at www.universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny.
Fresh, flash, frozen from the American farmer every time. PatriotFoods.com, hit the shop now button. You're supporting a veteran family in need every time you shop. Look at us online, see how we give back. For the servicemen and women of this great country, we are fighting for the American farmer. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM, 10% off today, folks. Shop now.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I buy Patriot Foods. It's great. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM.
This hour of Frontlines of Freedom is brought to you by HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net is an online resource and information center dedicated to the welfare of those who have sacrificed for the freedoms, ideals, and morals we Americans hold dear to our hearts. At HelpVet.net, find information on benefit-related issues from education, healthcare, military pay, retirement, VA loans, and resources on education, finance, legal, health and wellness, the military life, moving and housing, travel and entertainment, and much, much more. Visit HelpVet.net, HelpVet.net.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with retired Navy SEAL Captain John Doolittle. John, we discussed your time in the Navy as a SEAL. Now you're out. You're one of those darn civilians. What'd you do when you got out? What are you doing now?
Well, when I was getting out, I had my 13th orthopedic surgery. And the guys that did my rehab, they put this device on me. And they had me doing the rehab movements on my shoulders, but they had me wear these bands connected to this little machine. And they were pneumatic elastic bands that I'd wear high on my arms or high up on my legs. They had leg bands and arm bands. And I learned about this, and it was called KAATSU, KAATSU. And it's a Japanese word that means ka, increase, and atsu is pressure. So think like shiatsu, pressure massage. So what it feels like when you're wearing this stuff is that you are doing much more work than you actually are. So if you're holding a 5-pound weight while you're wearing these KAATSU bands, it feels like 30, 40, sometimes 50 pounds, depending what you're doing. So I fell in love with this and I wanted to learn more about it. I went to Japan. I met the founder, Dr. Yoshiaki Sato. And I met the CEO of the global company, KAATSU Global, and I got hired on the spot. Now, that was 6.5 years ago. I officially left the Navy 1 September 2017, and I've been with this company ever since. And I think the thing that keeps me around more than anything is what we're doing for our wounded, ill, and injured, our wounded teammates, both inside the VA and that are still active duty in the military. And I think that's why Dr. Sato and Steven Munitonos, the CEO, I think that really is why they brought me on anyway, was to get this capability to our teammates in the Department of Veterans Affairs.
Well, I can't imagine not doing what you did. If I were hurt like that and something was helping as much as it was, I would want to know more about it. And if they would hire me, I'd do it, because taking care of the troops is one of the things leaders do. And to be able to do it in a way that you know it worked, that it worked for you, and you can see it helping other people, how could you not get involved?
Exactly. Exactly. And there's risk to that, right? When you're getting out of the military, that's a tough time. And especially if you're going to go to a small company. I mean, this was an established company in Japan, but in America, it was basically a startup. And that's tough going into the kind of startup world. But I've had a lot of lessons along the way. I've had a lot of mentors. And what I love to tell people, and I'm glad I'm talking to your audience, because there's a lot of military in your audience, don't be afraid of going into a small business or the startup world. Because even if it only lasts for 1 year, and let's say they fail, or let's say they let you go, you've become more valuable to the marketplace. So you can go to a startup, go to another startup, and you're no longer just a military veteran. You're now a military veteran that's done A, B, or C. So I really thought this was only going to last a year with me, but we're going strong. We continue to grow, and we're helping a lot of people.
You know, what you say makes a whole lot of sense. And yes, getting out of the military was really tough, because, you know, suddenly you're working with civilians, and, you know, they don't stand up straight. They don't shine the backs of their belt buckles. Doesn't seem to be anybody in charge. And the rigor and the discipline and everything is not there. It's a little weird, but hey, it works. I mean, they're the ones we were defending anyway. Right. So yeah, it's a challenge, but yeah, we bring a lot with us out of the military. We can get focused. We have discipline. Well, we understand chain of command of authority and that kind of stuff. So we bring a lot out, but yeah, it's scary. I agree with you. But having said that, to be able to get out and do something that is helping your comrades. By the way, does this program help non-veterans too or not?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So KOTSU has been working in the elderly populations in Japan for a long time, and in the cardiac rehab world. And it's kind of a long story, but I think this is an important piece for your audience to hear. The cardiac rehab patient population, you know, that's your safety is a key element of cardiac rehab. So they did this study in Japan. It lasted for 10 years. There were over 14,000 patients that used KOTSU as part of their cardiac rehab protocols. And they gathered all this data, and they did all these reports and all this evidence-based research. That finished in 2014. And after that, that's why coaches, trainers, ortho rehab specialists, and the sports world got very interested in KOTSU, because they saw the outcome measures that came from this long cardiac rehab study. And now there is not a physical therapy location in America that doesn't at least know about BFR, or blood flow restriction. So KOTSU has been termed to be a form of BFR, blood flow restriction. There are now about 16 knockoffs to KOTSU, which we see is a, what's the term, Denny? Imitation's the greatest form of flattery.
Amen.
So we have a lot. Yeah. I mean, we got a lot of knockoffs that are trying to do what KOTSU does, but they're all a little bit different. Nobody's quite like KOTSU. We have really good intellectual property patents that are pretty strong. So we're kind of the original BFR. So it's growing like gangbusters. It's been fun.
Well, frankly, it should, because I'm in my 80s. I have a little more pain than I used to have. Now, I'm in pretty good shape. That's not an extreme case, but most of my friends about my age do have a lot of pain. And wow, I mean, to know that there's a source that's not just somebody, yeah, I got this real secret thing I could help you with. No, it's a proven fact. It's something that's been helping people for decades.
Exactly.
That's worth knowing about. And frankly, John, I like talking to SEALs, but this is the kind of information that I think all our listeners need to know about, not necessarily for themselves, but for people they know.
Yeah. And Denny, our oldest client is 104 years old. So this really got started in Japan to help the elderly population. You know, Japan's the oldest population on the planet, and they have an incredibly low birth rate. So the government of Japan subsidized Dr. Sato, helped fund all his research. So if you think about somebody in their 80s that's not working out anymore because they can't lift heavy weights for obvious reasons, they have all kinds of orthopedic issues, right? This is a way to still work out with little to no weight, and you can still build muscle mass. There's this term called sarcopenia, and it used to be felt that sarcopenia was a proven quote-unquote fact, meaning you would lose muscle mass as you aged over 60, no matter what. And Dr. Sato has proven that to not be true. We have clients in their 80s and 90s that have put on significant muscle, which helps with frailty, which helps with everything. So yeah, I mean, we're with a lot of sports teams, we're with the military, we're in the VA, but I think what it's doing for people in their 70s and 80s is really valuable.
Yeah. I mean, again, I'm a bit of an exception, and I don't know why, it must be my genetics, but I can still do, well, I can't do everything my ego says I can do, but I'm a lot more active than most of my peers. And that's not just a neat thing. That's a hugely important thing as you live your life in your senior years. So I think that's awesome. We're about out of time. John, how can people plug into you or Katsu and learn more?
Well, our website is katsu.com, K-A-A-T-S-U.com. My email is john.doolittle@katsu.com. So john.doolittle@katsu.com. And if you're into LinkedIn, I'm all over LinkedIn. That's my primary social media channel. And you can always get me there. And it's on LinkedIn, you'll see a guy in his sunglasses. And my pronouns are dude, guy, bro.
I love that. And if you forget any of that, contact me. John and I are in touch with each other. John, thank you.
Great.
Thank you for these great comments. Thank you for your service to our nation. I'm proud to call you friend.
Hey, thanks, Danny. I really appreciate it.
This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking with Chris Dinnerstein about real science. Then we'll talk with Vietnam vet Ron Corser. And of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our self-defense report. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom Troops. It's time for pull-ups. Do 35 good ones after a few push-ups. Then grab some protein, rehydrate with water, and finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.